Introducing Eli Weber, 9 o'clock sharp on a Tuesday morning, Sefer Mitzvot Rambam, Mitzvah number 220, Mefateh, the seducer.
Okay.
The seducer.
So, as people pointed out, we're in the series of, let's say, difficult mitzvot, or mitzvot that don't sound like mitzvot, and probably aren't. And just to be clear, you know, when we started talking about Kiddushin, so the thought was like, you know, every marriage is done via the regular process of Kiddushin. And overwhelmingly that's true in our experience, and it's true in the Torah, but the mitzvahs break down in different ways. And we've seen since then, just, you know, to cut through it, but off the top of my head, you know, after Kiddushin, there's Yibum and there's Chalitza. So both, you know, again, there's Kiddushin and Gerushin, and then there's Yibum and Chalitza, right? Yibum being the marriage of a brother marries his brother's widow if they died without children. Then we saw the difficult and bizarre marriage of a ma'anes, right? If you rape, we saw that the din was that you have to marry, aside from a knas, you have to marry her. Okay. Morning. You have to marry her.
Okay.
No, I gave you everything.
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You see, it's available again. Yeah.
Bruce. I gave you the sheet. It's not so hard a job.
He doesn't want
to. You can't do it. Give it to someone else. Okay.
My tongue for us already.
Okay. So there was the ma'anes. In between, we had the motzi shemra, which isn't a form of kiddushin. That's just a husband who claims that his wife was not a virgin, and we saw punishments for that and what have you. And now we're up to mefata, which is a seducer. Mm-hmm. That will be followed by the famous and most interesting Eishes Yefas Toar. All the sort of the groupings of marriages that, let's say this way, are not lechatchila, right? Your parents don't bring you up to be part of one of these marriages. Okay? A lot of what we have to discuss today is mefata as it relates to ma'anes. Again, a ma'anes is a rapist, a mefata is a seducer. So, obviously, there's something very similar about the two, except for the bottom line, which is, in the case of a ma'anes, you know, she said no. In the case of a mefata, she said yes. But the Torah looks poorly at both of them and has related but different halachos. So let's look at, there's only two psukim on a mefata, today's mitzvah, and they're in Mishpatim. Source number one, Sefer Shmos, Perek Chafet, Pasuk Tetzvah. V'chi yifate ish bitula. If a man seduces a bitula, a virgin, asher lo orasa, who is not engaged, obviously if she's not engaged, she's not married, meaning she's single, v'shachavima, and he sleeps with her. Two hard words. Mahor yim haren halo li'isha. Okay, we'll come back a little bit to the technicality, but Mahor Yim Haren Alo Li'isha means that he should marry her in some form or another. Mahor Yim Haren Alo Li'isha. Okay? So this looks very similar to the case of a Ma'ane, right? So far, what do you have? If you seduce a Bitula, a single Bitula, so let's assume you're talking about somebody who's 12 and a half or less, it's a na'ara bitula, although it's not specific in the pasuk, then mahar yimarana lo li'isha, he should marry her.
How can you have someone who's a bitula and married? She's not married.
She's not
engaged. She's
not engaged. Meaning, the way we do it nowadays, engagements don't have any halachic validity nowadays. But there's two parts to a marriage. There's the erusin / kiddushin, and there's the nisuin. We do them all at once. In the old days, they were separated by many months.
Charedim
have Tanaim. That's not Eretz. Not at all. Basically, Tanaim is like if you, from Fiddler on the Roof, you know, I'll give you 12 chickens if we back out of this deal. And the feathered pillows and whatever. But it has nothing to do, it's a contract, but it has nothing to do with marriage. It's just a commitment that the two sides make to each other to enter into the marriage.
Oh, it's not
okay? Erusin has a bracha. And Erusin establishes her as usur on everybody, including the future husband. But at that, her status changes at Erusin. So that were she to cheat on him from Erusin and on, she'd be chayav misa. It's like she's married, although she's not married. Okay? So nowadays, there's no difference. We do them both under the chuppah. But in the old days, they could be separated by a year.
Do we have like a first date?
What?
It's all like first date, you know.
Sometimes I feel like I'm just I lose complete control of the shir. Okay, here we go. Second pasuk, Tezai. Im ma'ein yima'ein avia letitalo.
Yes.
But the husband, the father says, you know, so the seducer has to marry her. But the father says, and the Gemara says later, the daughter as well, I don't want, you know, I don't want her to marry who you. Then kesef yishkol kimor habitulav. Doesn't say how much. He has to pay a fine. Kesef yishkol, he has to pay kesef kimor habitulot, which more or less means that which a bitula would get. The standard amount in a ketubah of a bitula is 200 zuz. Yes.
Can she reject it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She, the Gemara says the same thing. It says her father, but she too can reject it.
Mm-hmm. Is that 200 zuz regarded as a fair sum of money?
So we'll get to that. It's hard to know exactly, right? Is that what she's worth, God forbid, like if she was sold? Well, we know the following. 200 zuz is the standard amount that is listed in the ketubah of a bitula. 100 zuz is the standard amount listed for a bitula. Okay, either she'd been married already or she wasn't a virgin.
400 for Cohen zuz. Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay. It gave them food for the year. 200 zuz was enough to eat all
okay.
for the year.
Anyway, so basically what we have is as follows. If he seduces her, he's supposed to marry her. If she, in the pasuk, we have the following. If the father doesn't want it, then he has to pay a fine. Okay? It doesn't have much of the detail that we had with the Ma'anis. And now, let's just spend a few minutes trying to figure out the background and what the halacha is. Then we'll get into the lamdos. So if you look at source number 2, the Rambam says in Hilchos Na'ara Betulah Perek Bet Halacha Zayin, HaMifateh, he's comparing now the seducer to the rapist. HaMifateh, the seducer, notein boshet ufgam miyad. Okay, that's not in the pasuk. Boshet and pagam are embarrassment and damage. Okay, it's like any time you hurt somebody, you have to pay a range of monetary damages, including boshet, the embarrassment, pagam. Let's say if you spit in somebody's face in public, so presumably there'd be a fine. You'd have to pay boshet. It's embarrassing to him.
Unless it's a woman, the boom. Okay.
But you would not have to pay pagam. I mean, there's no damage, right? You'd not have to pay sheves or ripu. There's no doctor bills. There is a range of monetary fines or monetary damages. Now, ve'eino notein et haknas. However, the seducer doesn't have to pay the knas. And that's listed in the pasuk. Ella im kein lo nisa'a. The way the Rambam sets it up, it's an either or.
Mm-hmm.
If the seducer marries her, he doesn't have to pay a knas. If he doesn't marry her, and here the implication of the Rambam is, as the halacha is, he's not obligated to marry her. Okay, again, with respect to a ma'anes, he has no say in the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If she's willing to marry him, he must marry her. The first thing we see, the first difference between a ma'anis and a mafateh is a mafateh does not have to marry her unless he wants to. Again, why would that be? Intuitively, there's a difference between a ma'anis and a mafateh, right? In the end, she consented to be seduced. I think those are the rules.
Or she didn't object.
So I don't want to get into that because I don't know the answer. You know, no, I'm not being cute. Like it's, you know, those are details that I couldn't sort out, and I'm not sure that they're, you know, the question is it rape unless she objects, or is it, you know, everything is rape unless she consents, or no, it's only rape unless she objects.
Okay.
I think that's much more modern
than we
normally, you know.
Do you think it matters if she's an older, priorly married woman versus younger?
Yeah, the dinner mafata
does not apply
to such a woman. Mm-hmm. Finished.
What is the logic?
So I want to get there. Okay. Certainly you would agree with me that on the hierarchy of bad, rape is above seduction. So the first thing you see is, the din is as follows. On the one hand, the Torah says he should marry her. On the other hand, it's not mandatory. And the way the Rambam says it is, and this is really the din, there's a fine to be paid. It's either or. There's a fine to be paid. If he marries her, he doesn't have to pay the fine. Why? Presumably, the ketubah that would exist in a marriage would serve as the fine, and we've already pointed out, one second, it's the same amount of money. So there's no confusion there.
Ketubah and the knas?
Yes. The knas for a mafateh is equal to the ketubah of a betula.
That's not the reason, surely.
I didn't say it's the reason, I just said it's a fact. One second, Mr. Weiser.
He's just as guilty as him.
Okay, so that... So the assumption is that he's the instigator and that he bears most of the responsibility. We saw Ramban previously, you know, a week or two ago, that basically says the same thing. It can't, you know, you have to be able to, we live in a world where you want to be black and white, right? The answer is, in the real world, it's not black and white. In the halacha, it's not black and white. The halacha says that the mefata is guilty of something, but what he's guilty of is not nearly as bad as what a ma'anes is guilty of. Therefore, the ma'anes is obligated to marry her no matter what deformity she has, so long as she's willing to marry him. The mefata is under no such obligation. Now, it's true in the pasuk, it sounds like that's what the Torah wants. And we have to sort that out. But for now, that's not how it plays out. Let me just finish the Rambam, then you'll go. We're in source number two. So again, he doesn't have to pay her. Ela im kein lo nasa. He only has to pay the fine if he doesn't marry her. And he's the second line. Says v'im ma'ein yima'ein avir letita lo kesef yishkol kamar betulot. Aval ha'ones, the rapist, notain arba'a dvarim miyad v'kones. He has to pay, he has to pay the knas and ripui and he has to pay the knas and boshes and pegam and that's only three. Oh, and he has to marry her right away. Lefika kishetirtzel lehitgareish o imet ein lachlum. Therefore, in the case of a ma'anes, here you see that what I'm saying is true. Oh, it's not him. Okay. Okay. In the case of the ma'anes, if eventually she says, I want to be divorced, he doesn't have to pay her a ketubah. Why? Because he already paid it up front.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's why I know I'm not making that up. It might not be the rationale,
okay,
but it's the fact, and it's the fact we have to deal with. There's not enough sheets? I'm sorry. Okay. We have to increase the budget. the copying budget
to raise the taxes among them.
Has to be increased. Yes.
How can the Rambam say that he doesn't have to marry him? According to whether you read it, specifically says.
According to the way I read it. Like if I read it a different way, would it say something different?
No, I'm saying the way you explained it, you said he has to
marry him. I just read the psukim.
I understand that, but how does the Rambam say that he doesn't have to marry him?
So, again, what we often do here, because not enough time and because it's easier, we skip all the Gemaras. Meaning, the Rambam didn't make it up. The halakha, right. So I'll talk about it for a little bit, because you're right. I think the simple reading of the pasuk, it's interesting when it happens more often than we would think. It's interesting when the halakha is different than the pshuto shel mikra.
Okay.
The Gemara goes through it, and in fact, let's talk about that now.
What's the age of this girl?
The age of this girl is up to 12 and a half.
Okay.
You don't seduce a 12-year-old girl because she's right. What you're doing is rape according to our laws.
Well, it's a thing called statutory rape, and you're exactly right.
We don't have that concept.
Yeah.
What?
It's different. I guess we don't have that concept.
Right, and also, let's face it, it's not just in the Torah, in the Old Israel, people got married. It wasn't just, you know, like Orthodox girls, right? Everybody got married. You watch Game of Thrones? Okay, sorry. You know, everybody got married young.
Right.
So that wasn't, I just want to make it clear, I did not, okay. Okay, so... I put two Torah Tumimas here, not because it goes in chronological order or anything like that, because he has very common sense insights into try to just getting a sense for what's going on. So look at source number three. The first Torah Tumima on our Psukim in Mishpatim says as follows. How is it that he doesn't have to pay the fine if he marries her? Well, he doesn't have to marry her. So he says, V'lo kimo gabe ones. There's a difference, right? A mafata is not like an ones who has to marry her against his will, afilu bal karcho. So why is that? So he says it's simple, and anybody could have said it. It's in the Torah to me. V'nira b'tam hadiyukan. The inference here that led Chazal to read the halacha otherwise. The hadiyukan ubeones. Dikan. This is exactly your point. Here, the pasuk says, "Mahar yim harena lo liisha." Those are verbs. Whatever they mean, he has to do something. No. Okay. You know what? Okay. Mahar yim harena lo. He says in our pasuk, it says he has to do something to marry her. Tala hakatuv et hanisuim bipeulato. Right? It's contingent on his action. Kimoshe katav mahor yimarena. It's a verb. Visham beones ktiv velo tihiyah leisha. That's a status. You understand what I'm saying? The Torah was making exactly your point. What's the difference between the Torah says with the ma'aneh he has to marry her, with the mafata he has to marry her? Now you're telling me the halacha is the Ma'anit really has to marry her, and the Mefata only if he wants to. So the Torah says, because it says it differently in the Pasuk. One Pasuk says, with the Ma'anit, velo tihiyah le'isha, she shall be his wife. That's the Torah saying, this is the result. Here it says, mahor yimarena lo le'isha, he's supposed to marry her. Buried in here is a very interesting idea. It exists in all kinds of laws. It exists in American law also. Sometimes you can sue for something called specific performance, right? Meaning somebody's in violation of a contract, so therefore you go to court, and you don't want damages. You want the court to force this contract to be abided by. So it doesn't always work. For example, you know, let's say Mordechai Ben David signs a contract to sing at Bruce's daughter's wedding. Right, it's the wedding of the century. So then Mordechai Ben David calls up and says, listen, I just found out that you're wearing a lavender tie.
Maroon.
I'm not showing up. Right, it's priestess. Okay? So Bruce goes to court and sues Mordechai Ben David.
No, I'd like to not wear that tie.
Bruce goes to court. He's Mordechai Ben David. The court, under civil law, the court could rule for Bruce, but it can't make Mordechai Ben David get up and sing. It's just the kind of thing that can't be done. So it's often the case that, you know, it's hard to compel specific performance for things that are unique to a person. They, you know, just, or yeah, the worst thing that happens is, you know, the court compels Mordechai Ben David to sing at the wedding and he's like, you know, like, okay, who's going to win? Huh?
It seems like Madonna off-key.
I have no idea how Madonna sings. Game of Thrones, as far as I'm going to go. Okay,
I hate to mention the kind of music that will probably play.
Okay, it's none of our business.
Okay.
So he says, Dimashma, third line in the middle of number three, Dimashma tihiyeh b'chal ofan shehu. It's a great deal. V'lo tihiyeh le'isha. She shall be his wife under all circumstances. Okay? I wish you wouldn't say that.
Oh, you want?
Under all circumstances that are otherwise halachically permitted. Okay? Bein beard so no bein ba'al karcha. Ubitam hasfarani, or what's the theory? He says, the hasam, with respect to a rapist, can sina le biyotem yishum sha'onsa. A rapist is worse, so his punishment is worse. Ma sha'en kein hacha shenit patet. Here where she was seduced, you know, it's bad, but it's not nearly as bad as a rapist. Okay? So the first answer we have is that, how is it that the halacha turned out different than the pasuk seems to require? The answer is because the pasuk speaks about it differently in two places. Mahor yim harena lo liisha says he should marry her. So the diuk is he should marry her if he wants to. Why? Because marriage is normally seen as voluntary. Okay? But velo tihiya liisha, that doesn't sound like a marriage. That sounds like a punishment, therefore even against his will. Why is it worse for a ma'anis than for a mafata? The answer is because a ma'anis is a much worse person than a mafata. Okay? That's the first background Torah to Mima. Second one. The Tochmim wants to understand why is it that the pasuk seems to say two things. He has to marry her and he has to pay a knas. But the halacha is one or the other. If he marries her, he doesn't have to pay the knas.
Just goes on longer.
Huh?
It just goes on longer.
And if he doesn't marry her, he has to pay the knas. Source number four. Whoa. Says the Torah Tmima, v'hasvara b'zeh pshuta. The explanation for this result is simple. Dikan b'pitui, here with respect to seduction, have inyan haknas, rak sheyetiv la b'matzava b'chlal, avur shechilel kvoda. Here, the knas is because he humiliated her. Okay, he damaged her honor. So therefore, you want to do something to make it up to her. She was, you know, she used to be a 10 on the market, you know, and now she's an 8.
But in rape, it's not the same thing.
Huh?
In rape? That
it's worse in rape. What?
Right.
Oh,
okay.
For sure it is.
Okay.
So, but what you're trying to do here is make it up to her. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Let's read.
Okay.
Umikevan shenos abizel levad hu meitivla umechape al bizyona. What's the problem with being an 8? Because if you were a 10, you had all these suitors. And you're an 8, you have fewer suitors. But if he marries her, if they agree to get married, it doesn't matter whether she's an 8 or a 9 or a 10 or a 4. You with me? So therefore, it's not so much a punishment. With respect to a mefateh, all you're trying to do is get her back to where she was before. And if you marry her, you have taken her back to where she was before, because if she chose to marry you and you chose to marry her, it doesn't matter what number she is on the marketplace now. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, but she's not a virgin.
Right, but he married her.
He doesn't care.
It doesn't matter. She chose to marry him, he chose to marry her. So it's like not being a virgin, I'm starting to say it like in a horrible way. It hurts your marital opportunities and it hurts how much money somebody would pay to marry you.
Yeah, sure.
But okay, what difference does it make if you're married? And that's the response. Okay? Ma she'en kein hasam, in the case of a rapist, have a knas avur ha'inui. There you're paying not because her position was lowered in society, but because you hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You did a crime and you actually hurt her. Im kein ein nafgamina im nosa olo v'zeh pashut. Then it doesn't make a difference if you marry her or not. Meaning, do it a different case, okay? You punch a woman in the face. Well, now, you could marry her, that's a lovely thing. But you punched her in the face, and she was damaged for that, and, you know, that damage has to be paid for. You understand what I'm saying? It's exactly...
The greatest way to get married.
No, it's not the greatest way to get married. It's probably better than raping her.
Okay.
Okay? The point is, with respect to a mefateh, you're just trying to get her back to where she was. And if you marry her, you've automatically taken her back to where she was. But in the case of rape, you have to pay for that rape. Mm-hmm. That rape was a crime that has to be accounted for in halacha. And marrying her doesn't fix it. So therefore, you have to do both.
Okay,
all this by way of background. But we're sort of clear on the differences between ma'anes and mefateh. Okay, again, a ma'anes has to pay a fine no matter what, and has to marry her no matter what, so long as she's willing to marry him. What we've seen is a mefateh, it's one or the other, right? He either has to marry her or pay a fine, and it's up to him.
But
I mean, she could still say no, of course. But if she wants to marry him and he wants to marry her, there's no fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't want to marry him or he doesn't want to marry her, he has to pay a fine.
But to be consistent, there should be an additional level of fine for a ma'anes who doesn't get married.
No, but he has to get, meaning we don't, that's not a possibility.
If she doesn't want to marry him, she's still damaged.
Right, so he has to pay the fine.
No, but that's a fine for the crime.
Right.
It's not, you're not putting it in the category of reducing her mechiron.
So the answer is, sad to say there is. Meaning, there still is boshes and pegam and all those other things.
Okay.
The knas is a punishment. Let's say it this way. The knas is objective, right? Everybody who commits rape has to pay 50 shekel. Now, what about all the other damages associated with the rape? That's subjective, right? She may have greater doctor bills in that case. If she's the princess, he's going to land up paying more than if she's a homeless girl, and all those things play out. But the knas remains the knas.
Does the basin determine whether it's ones or whether it's...
So I want to avoid that because it's a huge machlokes.
Okay.
Presumably, yes, you can't have an ones without witnesses.
Right, okay.
Right? The Rambam, it's a big machlokes, Rambam and Ravid.
Okay.
And I should have put it down, but I wanted to avoid it. But fine. It doesn't matter what I want anymore.
What happened?
One second, let me answer his question. So the Rambam says as follows. If it's in a populated area, right?
Okay.
Presumably, every time it's he said, she said. So the Rambam has a rule. He says, if it's in a populated area, the assumption is it's seduction.
Right.
Why? Because she would have yelled at it,
right?
But if it's in a field, the assumption is it's rape, because, you know, the Ravid says it's ridiculous. You need witnesses. Witnesses will tell us one way or the other. The Rambam even says, but there are, it's so fascinating, the Rambam says there are exceptions to this rule. For example, it could be that you're in a populated area, but he takes out his sword and says, if you yell, I'm going to kill you. So you can't hold that against the woman. Anyway, I want to avoid that, but there's a big discussion in Poskim also about a kol, meaning when you're talking about seduction, presumably there are rumors he's sleeping with her, you know, and people don't know for sure. And the din could be different in each case.
Is the din indifferent if he impregnates her?
Huh?
If she gets pregnant.
No. She gets her pregnant.
The din is not different, meaning the responsibilities are different. But ma'anes or mafateh, it is what it is.
Okay?
Now, having done all this to just get a sense for the background, let's try to figure out what the mitzvah is. Again, this is supposed to be a shir in Sefer HaMitzvot. What's the mitzvah? Clearly the mitzvah isn't to go out and seduce, right? And we've done this enough to know that not every mitzvah in the Torah is obligatory in that sense. But let's assume that if you're a mefateh, now there's a mitzvah. Okay? What's that mitzvah? So, one of the least helpful Rambams ever. Really, it's like sometimes you see it and you go, come on, couldn't you have tried harder to help me out? The Rambam, mitzvah, Reish Chaf, 120, the one we're doing, says as follows. And I challenge anybody to figure out the Shita Saram from this. And I did not delete any word. V'hamitzvah ha-Reish Chaf, he shetzivanu bidin hamefateh. Okay, the Torah commanded us in the din of the seducer. V'amaro yitbarach v'chi yifateh ish betula. He quotes a pasuk. Ukvar yitbaru mishpateh mitzvazo kulam b'shlishi u'brivi miktuba. Then it's all in the Gemara. Okay, what's the mitzvah of mefateh?
Baiting
the violation of the fine or the...
And you deduce that from? Okay. So, the problem is that that's not what the Rambam sounds like in the Yad HaChazaka. It doesn't mean you're wrong. But in the Yad HaChazaka, it's different. In the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam sounds like the mitzvah is the knas, and not the marriage. Again, we have two possibilities. right? You have to pay a fine, you have to marry her, or one or the other. But let's read it together. This is the first halacha in Hilchos Nara Besula, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, source number 6, says the Rambam as follows. Mi sheyifate bitula, a person who seduces a virgin, konsin oto mishkal chamishim slaim shel kesef mizukak, he is fined, it's a knas, he is fined 50 slaim of pure silver, vizehu hanikra knas, v'chein iman asota. That same fine happens to apply if he's a ma'anes. U'kinas zeh mitzvat aseh shel Torah. This knas is the mitzvat aseh shel Torah. That's the mitzvah.
One second, he just
finished. V'natan ha'ish ha'shochev imal avian ara chamishim kesef. Go ahead, yeah.
Look at the lashon. It's konsin oto, not that hu mishalem. It's like the imposition of a knas on him.
Okay, fine. But what I'm more interested in, what happened to the marriage part? Right? It doesn't even sound like that's part of the halacha. The Rambam says there's a knas, and that knas is the mitzvah saseh. Right? So I'm less interested in who the mitzvah is on, although that's a very important point, and more interested in, I don't think that's how any of us read the pasuk. Right? That's not how you read the pasuk. The pasuk says, go back to source number 1, it will require you flipping over again, but you could all do it. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, and yours?
Well, no, like when I insult you, there's so many easy ways. Okay,
true.
I want to say I apologize. I'm working off the teacher's edition where I wrote my own notes.
Okay,
I want to apologize to everybody.
Accepted.
So the pasuk is, the simple reading is, he should marry her. Right? Then you have imma'ein, imma'ein, kesef yishkol kemo abitulot. You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds so much like yibum and chalitza. I just want to point this out. The Torah says, if he dies without any children, she should marry, you know, he should marry the widow. If it happens that he doesn't want to marry the widow, then, you know, he'll do chalitza. Okay? I think it sounds very similar. So that's the Rambam in the first halacha of Nara Besula. There's not, now got a halacha gimel right underneath. Huh?
Turn over.
Right underneath, if you turn over and go to the top of the page, then it will be right there. Okay. Hamifuta shelo ratta lehinaseh lamefateh. Right? The victim of the seduction who doesn't want to marry the seducer, o shelo ratza avi alitnalo, or the father doesn't want it, o shelo ratza hu lichnos, or he doesn't want it. So it's really, there's two people in the marriage, but there's three people whose consent you need. Harezen noten kinasa v'holech ve'ein kofin oto lichnos. He can pay the fine and finished, and he leaves. And the court doesn't try to make him, you know, it's not like he's doing anything wrong. He doesn't have to marry her. You could read into it, if you tried really hard, that all things being equal, we'd like him to marry her, but what are you going to do? She doesn't want to marry him. You know, the father doesn't want it, he doesn't want it. So he pays the knas and he goes away. Let's finish the Rambam. V'imratsu v'kinsa, but if they all agree and they get married, Eino mishalem knas. He doesn't have to pay the knas, and here's where I get the idea that the ksubas instead, ela kotev la kituba kisha'ara bitulot.
She's not a bitulot.
Huh?
She's not a bitulot.
You're exactly right. Kisha'ara bitulot. He has to write, we'll come back to that, it's an excellent point. He writes her a shtar, a ketubah, as if she was a bitula. Okay, it's an excellent point. We have to come back to that. Ava. So, again, every once in a while, someone makes an excellent point. One day, it'll happen. Okay. Aval ha'anusa, third line, compare it to the rapist. Shelo rastahi ohavia lehina se laones harishut biyadam v'notein knas. It's different. In the seduction case, right, if they in the seduction case, it's marriage or knas. Here, you'll see. He has to pay the knas. Now, rastahi ve'avia v'lo ratzahu, kofin oto v'kones v'notein knas. Shenema v'lo tiel isha harezo mitzvat aseh. So just interesting, one second. The simple reading of the Rambam is, in the case of a mefateh, of a seduction, the mitzvah is to pay the knas, right? In the case of a me'anes, the mitzvah is to marry her. Okay? And you couldn't miss it, because I've cleverly bolded the words that would lead you to that conclusion. Yes?
So first of all, does the Rambam consider getting married a mitzvah?
Yes, he does. Although in this context, that's not what we're working
for. No, in general.
Yes, it's in the Torah and mitzvah.
The mitzvah is puruhu, and then...
No. The mitzvah is kedushin in the Rambam. Yeah.
It seems here from the lashon of mahor yimaharena. Why mahor yimaharena? Why do you rush it? If you do it, why are you rushing it? Because he's already done.
It's not from the word.
Act of nisuin, and now you want to complete it. In other words, it's almost like this whole thing.
It's a great deal if it meant maher. But I don't think it does. Mahor yimaharena, kemohar habitulot. Kesef yishkol kemohar habitulot. It's like the dowry. He has to pay, okay. Right? It doesn't mean that your idea is wrong, but in that word, I think, and maybe they come from the same source, but there it means, yes. It's also in the Megillah, right? Somewhere in the Megillah. Yeah, they don't say I'm right. Give me the puzzle. Everybody knows, right? When she goes, Kimon.
They have to write the story.
No. When they all have Shisha Chadashim B'Shem Anamor, Shisha Chadashim B'Abzum, B'Samukerim, B'Samukerim, U'Bazeh Anara Bo'el HaMelech, Eitzkola, somewhere in there it says like...
Moab?
Yeah, but that's not in the beginning. Maybe I made it up.
If the guy is like 13 and she's older, like Mrs. Potiphar, can they have a reverse seduction policy?
No. They can't. But you have a vivid imagination.
Okay, fine.
Stop.
So it doesn't apply to women, this mitzvah.
Huh?
This mitzvah
no, does absolutely does not apply to women. It absolutely does not apply to women. Okay. I'm going to go on, whether you want me to or not.
Yes.
Source number 7. The Sefer Achinuch. So here, for sure, you're right.
More than
what? The Sefer Achinuch says you can't miss it.
Yeah.
The mitzvah is, but there's more important things here. He says, the mitzvah is ladun bedin mefateh. It's clearly a mitzvah on bezdin. Now, let's take a second and step back and try to understand, like broadly speaking. There are many categories of mitzvahs in the Torah. Right? We think of mitzvahs in the Torah as applying to me and you or not applying to me and you. But it doesn't work that way. Obviously, there are mitzvahs that apply only to Kohanim and only to Levim and to Yisraelim, right? And there are mitzvahs that apply only to men. There are mitzvahs that apply only to women. There are mitzvahs that apply to the tzibur, right? Like binyan beis hamikdash, although they apply to the tzibur and to the yachid. Like going to war, okay? They're communal slash individual. But then there's a group of mitzvahs that apply only to bezdin. Meaning, me and you, we don't kill people who are mechal, you know, the din of dalad misos, of giving hereg and chenek and skila and srefa, that's a din on a bezdin. Okay? So one of the ways out of the technicalities, although you still have to figure out what to do, one of the ways out of the technicalities is to simply say, as the chinuch does, and maybe that's really the Rambam shita, the mitzvah of mefateh is a mitzvah on bezdin. Meaning, in this situation, this is the punishment for that crime. Now, he still has to do something, right? Whether he would get a mitzvah when he marries her is an open question. So, for example, there are mitzvahs that kind of straddle the line. Okay? Ve'heshivet ha'gzela asher gazal. If you steal, there's a mitzvah min ha'Torah to return the stolen property. So, on the one hand, presumably, Bezdin is supposed to make you return the stolen property. But we think that you, Mr. Thief, get a mitzvah when you return the stolen property. Right? So it's not all black and white. It could be that Bezdin has a role, and nevertheless, you still get a mitzvah. So for example, right, it could still be that Beis Din has to enforce the din of a ma'anes and a mefata, but when they do it, they're still getting a mitzvah. Okay?
Can restore her virginity.
What?
You can restore the stolen object. Can restore her virginity.
So hard to argue.
How could
that?
He committed a crime and he gets a mitzvah. It's a little crazy, no?
Well, yes and no. If you think of mitzvahs as making you like the biggest tzaddik in the world, then yes. If you think of mitzvahs as obligations, he's obligated in this case to do the following, right? Again, sometimes we have to readjust our idea. You know, we think mitzvah, mitzvah opportunity, let's jump on it. Some mitzvah opportunities you don't want to jump on because they involve bad behavior.
Think of the rapist.
Exactly.
Jumping in was actually the problem.
Exactly.
He's presenting the basis of doing this.
You mean if he marries her before Beis Din?
What was the problem?
If he marries her, there's no class. So he's preventing the basis from doing the mitzvah.
Unless it's either or. Unless it's, marriage or the fine. Maybe Beis Din arranges the marriage. I don't know. Let's read the chinuch just to get the background. Number 7. Ladun bedin mefateh mitzvah samachal from the chinuch kilomar mishe pita bitula. If you seduce the virgin, shenadino tokim mishpato akatub ala beparsha, the Beis Din has to enforce what's written in the parsha and our psukim. Second line in the middle, vinyana pitui hu sheomer ladvarim. Here's an interesting thing. I don't know what to do with it, but it's a machlokes. Vinyan ha pitui. How do you seduce somebody? And we're not going to discuss this.
Okay.
Who she'omer la dvarim shel sheker o shel emet ad she mitratze elav? He lies to her or he tells her truthful things, it doesn't matter, until she's willing to sleep with him. I guess you might have thought if the things he says are true, maybe that's not bedin mefata. I don't know.
It's forced by word. The difference between physical and force is really not.
Okay, is there a possibility, one second, is there a possibility that it's only if he lies to her? I'm asking you, what if the din was...
It's not libel?
Huh?
It's not rape?
Well, it's seduction.
Why is it marriage?
Seduction is almost like doing the act by words as opposed to physically imposing.
Okay, but it's not just words, obviously.
But why?
Right? It's like me. I'm exceptionally handsome, right? So is it my fault? It takes less words, like Bruce.
Why doesn't this be according to the Torah? If he talks to sleeping with him, and they discuss, he'd like to marry her.
Okay,
that's why from a bia. Actually.
Right, that's where bia is just the.
I mean, for the,
you know,
for the
mean,
purpose of marriage.
Right. It clearly wasn't for purpose. That's why I think he's touching on this idea. Shall sheker or shall emet? What if he says, "Sleep with me and we'll be married"?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Does that count?
So married? The question is there. It's very hard. I don't know. Let's put it this way: it could be that once the Torah said that we don't get married via bia. But it's a fair question. Okay, let's read another paragraph in the Chinuch.
Does that count as like a group?
Let's read another paragraph. Sharesh hadin yadua. He says the rationale for the mitzvah is clear. Va'al titmar kan biyot kol kvudo bad melech pnima nimkeret liboel b'chamishim kesef bein ashira bein aniya. He says, wait, and don't get all offended and say, wait, a Jewish girl who's been seduced now gets sold to the seducer for 50 shekels. Like, what could be more disgusting than that? He says, no. She'ein ha'knas rak dumei hana'at ha'shtiva b'chak. He has to pay a knas, sort of for the pleasure he got. Aval mitzad acher chayav ha'shochev otah latet boshet u'pkam lefi yichusa v'chashivuta v'chol mitzvat Hashem emuna. He says, we're going to make her whole. Okay? The 50 shekel, that's an established fine for what he did wrong. But then we're going to look at the damage to her, and we're going to force him to pay that damage, and that could be, by the way, whether he marries her or not. It could be.
How do they assess that?
So it's very subjective. The answer is, sadly, right, the higher you are in society, the greater the damage.
Mm-hmm.
Because they look at it and say, how was she seen before, and how is she seen now? and the difference between it, which, by the way, isn't that different than how the Torah establishes physical damages, you know, if you hit somebody. You know, if you hit somebody who's really rich and who has a job that produces millions of dollars, you're in big, you know, it's very similar to a car accident. Right? You did the same thing whether you hit, you know, my broken down Peugeot station wagon or you hit somebody's new BMW. It's just going to cost you a lot more if you hit somebody's new BMW. Right? It's not like the Torah created this new thing. It exists for all of us. It's how the world works.
So in a promiscuous society, she may get nothing.
Huh?
If it was a promiscuous society, or like today, so to speak.
It could be. It could be that you, less, I don't know, nothing. It could be that you get less. I think that in this... You know, I don't even want to go there. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Okay. So here, at least in the Rambam, it looked like if you had to try to narrow down to the most important part, it was the knas. Okay? If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam brings another shita. In source number 8, Simon Kufay and Zayin and Evan Ha'ezer, Im Vadai Ba'aleha. This is where you get the idea that I don't want to talk about, but you get the idea that it's not just the reputation, he's sleeping with her, whatever, the Rambam says, in a case where you're sure that he seduced her. Everybody's sure, they're witnesses or what have you. Mitzvah lekonsa, then that's the mitzvah to marry her. Aval ein kofin alka. Okay, so that's a very, very interesting formulation.
But not what?
It's a mitzvah, but we don't force him. It's a mitzvah if he wants to. Okay? That's a very interesting formulation. Okay, now.
Knas.
It's not the mitzvah. It's right, exactly. The Rambam seems to think knas is the mitzvah. In the Rambam, the focus seems to be on marriage. You're exactly right. Now, let's go back to the Rambam. The problem we noted in the Rambam, and we have to focus on now, is that the Rambam seems to focus on knas, and everybody who read the psukim reads it differently. The pasuk says, marry her. Okay, if you can't or you won't marry her, then you have to pay a knas. Where does the Rambam flip, why does it seem that the Rambam flips that around and seems to think that the main part is a knas? Okay, here we have to go back to something we touched on earlier, but I think it works. This is what all the Achronim say, this is not me, but I think it's fascinating and it gives us a deeper insight. Okay, the answer is that marriage for a mefateh, which the Rambam is different than marriage for a me'anes. Again, the Rambam seemed to think that in the case of me'anes, marriage was the key thing. In the case of mefateh, the fine was the key thing. How does that work? Okay. The Rambam wrote, if you go back to source number 6, Halacha Gimel, so it's the second paragraph in source number 6, they're on different pages. I know this is going to be very difficult. Okay, it's at the top of that page. Good. So the Rambam said, "Hamefuta shelo ratzal yinasel mefateh." If he didn't want to marry her, oh shelo ratzal, they don't want to marry each other. Harezen notein kinasav v'holeich ve'in kofin otol lichnos. He pays her, and they don't have to get married. Ve'im ratzu v'kinsa eino mishalem knas. He doesn't have to pay the fine. But the Rambam adds, it's not just he doesn't have to pay the fine. Why not? Third line. Ela kotev la ketubah kishar habitulav. He has to write a ketubah to her like bitulav. The question, right? But she's not a bitulav. The one thing we know is that she's not a bitulah. The answer is as follows. He writes her a ketubah as if she was a bitulah. The idea is, how much is a ketubah of a bitulah? 200 zuz equal to 50 kesef. Okay? That's the fine. So what the Rambam is really saying is, either way he's paying the fine. Either he pays the fine and he goes his separate way, or he writes her a ketubah in an amount that's larger than she really deserves because she's not a bitulah. Right? But he writes her a ketubah as if she was a bitulah, and it's the exact same thing. You understand? So when the Rambam says that the main thing is the knas comes in two flavors. Okay. Pay me now or pay me later.
But
200 zuz, which is equal to 50 kesef. Okay?
But he may not have to pay her later.
Correct. So they're married. Right. But the fact that he married her as if she was a bitula makes her exactly as she was before.
But that's a standard people put in.
Huh?
So there's no, let's say he never would have seduced her and he marries her. That's a standard amount you write in the ketubah.
Correct.
There's no sort of downside, so to speak. He seduces her and then he marries
her. The answer is right. To a certain extent, he seduces her. That generated, now again, he seduced her, so she's partially to blame. It's not rape. Okay? So what we're saying is he seduced her. Therefore, he's responsible for the reduction of her value in society. Okay? How do you fix that? You fix that by marrying her and treating her as a bitula. So you basically, you know, move the clock back. So I know it was, you didn't mean to say it before, but it's like you turned her back into a virgin.
Yeah.
Why? By writing her the exact ketubah that she would have gotten had this act not taken place. The act itself is a terrible thing. Yeah, but it wasn't against her will.
And he did it.
It wasn't against her will. And so somehow, so the answer is that really the way the Rambam reads it is, if you mifates somebody, you get a knas. The knas comes either in the form of a fine or in the form of marrying her and giving her a ketubah as if she was a bitula. So now you've taken her back to where she would have been in society.
And he gives him responsibility as well. Good. He should be responsible for his actions.
Okay, right. And so
he has to do one or the other.
So now.
Okay.
Now this also answers this pshat answers a fantastic question that the Ramban has on Rashi. Look in source number 9. Rashi on the pasuk of Mahor Yim Harena says Yivsok la mohar kemishpat ish liishto shekotev la ketubah v'yisayna. What does it mean Mahor Yim Harena lo liisha? That he marries her and pays her and gives her all the things. So machlok is what the Mahor Yim Harena means, like to give other gifts or what have you, but the Mahor Yim Harena part of the pasuk is more focused on, like, if you ask yourself, why doesn't it just say Yikadesh Ota? So the answer is because this comes with monetary obligations. Mahor Yim Harena Lo Leisha means, according to Rashi, you write a ketubah to her, so now, you know, if you ever wanted to divorce her, you would have to pay her the amount she would have gotten otherwise. Okay? Asks the Ramban in source number 10. Umashe Piresh Harav B'Mahor Yim Harena Lo Sheyisok lo mahar kemishpat ish liishto shekotev lo ketuvah eino emet. Wrong. Rashi's wrong. Why? Shehamifate im yisaena eino noten knas. Because he doesn't have to pay her. If he marries her, the whole point is he doesn't have to pay her. They're married. Vim yigarshena achar hanisuin ein lo alav klum min haTorah. Shehaketuvah midivrei sofrimhu. The Ramban says, it's a famous machlokas. The Ramban says the whole idea of a ketubah that we do under a chuppah is midrabanan. It's not required min haTorah. So, if it's not required min haTorah, how could Rashi say that mahor yim harena lo liisha means he'll give her a ketubah? Right? If a ketubah is not min haTorah, so how could the pasuk say he'll give her a ketubah? So what's the answer? The answer is, generally speaking, you're right. A ketubah is not min haTorah according to the Ramban. But in this case, that's the knas. It's not a regular ketubah, right? He gives it to her as if she was a bitula. She's not a bitula. It's not a regular ketubah. It is a form of the knas. Okay? Just to finish the Ramban, he says, last two full lines of Al-Pirush, Mohar ha-shluchim sh'adam mishalech la-rusato klei kesef klei zahavu begadim litzarchei ha-chupa va-nisuim v'heim nikraim siblalon v'lashon chachamim. Now the Ramban says Mohar Yim Harena Lo Leisha means gifts that a fiancé would give to his
betrothed,
whatever.
Betrothed.
Yeah? You just made that.
It works.
Okay. Anyway, the point is to show respect. But the real beautiful pshat is that even if the Ramban's right that a ketubah is not min haTorah, in this case, you know, the either or turns out to be equal. Right? You could pay her a fine and go away, or you could marry her, but not marry her as if she'd been damaged by your seduction. Marry her as if the seduction never took place, And now that's basically making her whole. So with respect to Ones, you can never make her whole. Marrying her doesn't make her whole because you committed a crime, right? And a crime has to be punished. There has to be a punishment for the crime no matter what. And to be clear, she's not allowed to forgive the crime. It doesn't work that way in halacha. It's a fascinating thing. Like, we think in America, no, you choose not to prosecute the victim. No, it doesn't work that way. Under American law, it doesn't work that way either. It's just it's hard to do it without the cooperation of the victim, right? But in halacha, just like, for example, a person can't commit suicide. Why? It's my body, right? I've given myself permission, right? The bedrock of halacha is that they're not our decisions to make, right? They're not our bodies. Why are permanent tattoos asur min ha-Torah? What's the difference? It's me, right? I can make a decision how I want to treat my own body. The answer is no, I can't, right? My body's a gift from God, and I owe it back to Him, which is why most people think that if I say to you, you know, punch me in the face, and I'll forgive you, it probably doesn't work, because...
You're opening the abortion.
Huh?
You're opening the abortion issue with it's my body.
Okay, let me just say this. I honestly was not trying to open the abortion issue, but, you know, if it fits...
Well, that's what they're saying. It's my body, and I can do what I want.
So apparently the Torah disagrees with that approach. That's for sure. Now, again, not to get into it, abortion is much more complicated than we pretend it to be. But the idea that it's my body and I can do anything I want with it is rejected flat out by the Torah. And here you kind of see that even the... Now, the answer is, so for the mefateh, if it's not your body and you can't consent to it, so then why... So the answer is there has to be some kind of obligation on the part of the seducer. Because she, it can't simply be that she gave consent if you're not allowed to give consent to a thing like that. On the other hand, it has to be factored in. And therefore, a me'anes is so much more, so much worse than a mefateh, that the halachos are different. Okay, next week, it'll be better. Next week, Eishes Yufas Torah, I don't have to do, you know, like, that's clearly the type of mitzvah that the Torah doesn't want you to do. But it's not a bezdin mitzvah. You know, it's really one of the most fascinating mitzvahs. It also has to do a lot with how halachos are different in the army, which is something that most of us don't know, and lemaisa doesn't really play out. But in war, you're a different person.
Okay.
And things that might otherwise be, you know, prohibited may not be.
Is there a sense that the Beis Din for the father can strongly encourage this young man to marry the girl because that's more honorable thing to do?
So we saw in the Ramah, you know, we don't force him. It doesn't mean,
well,
I'm with you. It seems
we don't
like
have like a shotgun winning idea.
It seems
but
like the right thing to do.
Would be to marry.
But it's extra halakh. Let's put it that way.
We're good to see an acronym whether they've actually had cases like that. And then, you're saying they can't force the marriage.
Is there any other?
Really.